Please say an item, turn to the gospel, I'll be reading from chapter 13, from 31 to 35, and out of reverence to God, which stands in the Lord's will. Luke chapter 13, beginning verse 31. At that time, some Pharisees came and told him, "Go, get out of here, Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Don't tell that fox, 'Look, I'm driving out demons and performing healings today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I'll complete my work.' Yet, it is necessary that I travel today, tomorrow, and the next day, because it is not possible for a prophet to perish outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to her? How often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is abandoned to you. I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Thanks. We're looking at the previous verses of chapter 13, and that title of the message, "How Do You Enter Heaven?" And Jesus had been traveling from village to town all throughout Israel. He was heading to Jerusalem. He was proclaiming the message everywhere he went. But one person asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" The context of this gives us that not a lot of people were accepting his message. They were coming to Jesus for healing, but they weren't following his teaching. They wanted to see what he was doing and receive what they could get, but not accepting his message. There are a lot of people that like Christianity until you show them what it says biblically. Somebody came up to that church. Everybody loves Christianity until it becomes biblical. A lot of people want other people to keep their religious views to themselves. But God came to his creation to show us how we can be right with him. And Jesus was going from place to place. Crowds were accepting his message, but only a few would be saved. Now, Sunday, I closed one of the back doors and sort of locked it off, so you can only come through one at a time. To remind us what Jesus had said in verse 24, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because I tell you, many will try to enter and won't be able. Once the homeowner gets up and shuts the door, then you will stand outside and knock on the door, saying, 'Lord, open up for us.' He will answer, 'I don't know you or where you're from.'" Jesus said, "Come through the way to salvation while the door is open." There's going to be a time when it's not open. Turn me to the letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 1. I'll start in verse 18. In the letter to the Romans, Paul laid out the entire gospel message in one letter. We'll call it the book of Romans, but it's a letter he wrote to the Romans. He hadn't been there yet, but he was heading there, and he wanted to lay out what God's plan was. But look at what it says, beginning in verse 18, chapter 1, Romans. "For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Now, suppressing the truth means you know what the truth is and you're just pushing it down. But our dumpster out here, people try to put lots of stuff in it. And you can try to push it down, push it down, push it down, but the lid just won't close. And if the lid doesn't close, then we have to pay extra Paul is referring to God's message that there are people that suppress, push down the truth. Look at what he says in verse 19. Since what can be known about God is evident to them, because God has shown it to them. Nobody can say, I don't know there's a God, because God has shown his existence to everyone. Everyone knows there's a God. You might have heard Ozzy Osbourne had passed away. He acknowledged there was a God. But he said he didn't go to church. He said he was a Christian when he was younger, but his acknowledging of God was not enough. God made his existence known to Ozzy. Now, did Ozzy, before he died, make a personal confession of his sin and accept God's forgiveness? I don't know. We'll have to wait until we get to heaven to find out. But everyone knows there is a God, because God has shown himself. Look at what verse 20 says. For his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. As a result, people are without excuse. For though they knew God, they did not glorify this God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. Look what it says here, the first of three times, verse 24. Therefore, God delivered them over in the desires of their heart, section of purity, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves. Delivering them over, God stopped drawing them to himself. Said, your chances are up. Verse 25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served what has been created instead of the Creator, who is praised forever. Amen. For this reason, God delivered them over to disgraceful passions. Again, God said, enough. No more chances. Their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. The men, in the same way, also left natural relations with women and were inflamed in their lust for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty of their error. And because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a corrupt mind so that they do what is not right. Okay. Three times, 24, verse 26, verse 28. God delivers them over. The door for their opportunity to salvation is shut. Now, can God open the door again? Yes, he wants to. When is that door shut? We don't know. It can be different for each individual. But Jesus is proclaiming his message on his way to Jerusalem. And then we have some Pharisees. Now remember, the Pharisees have always been against Jesus. So why are they warning Jesus? Herod is out to get him. Well, I don't know if I'm the only one that gets these emails. Your account has been hacked. Please reply to this email to clear up everything. Okay. Are they really looking out for me? No. They just want to confirm they got a live person, and then they're going to try to extort some money out of me or something. Well, Jesus saw right through the Pharisees' plan. And he replies to them, go tell that fox, look, I'm driving out demons even today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I'll complete my work. He knew the Pharisees were in league with Herod. Go back and tell the guy that sent you, is what Jesus is saying. I'm not going to be your slave. I got three more. That was verse 32. Luke 13, 32. And Jesus said, I got three more days, and then I'll have told the message to everybody. Then I can go to Jerusalem. I'll have finished telling everybody I intended to tell. It's not that I'm 3 days away from Jerusalem. I'm 3 days away from completing the plan of proclaiming and showing through the miracles that I'm the Messiah. And Jesus went on to say, verse 33, yet it is necessary that I travel today, tomorrow, and the next day, because it is not possible for a prophet to perish outside of Jerusalem. Jesus knew what was waiting for him in Jerusalem. He knew the religious leaders were not going to accept him as Messiah. He knew the people that proclaimed to be God's messengers, God's teachers, were actually fighting against God. So he gives a final closing to the door to Jerusalem. Just like in Romans 1, verse 24, 26, 28, God gave them over. Here he's giving over Jerusalem. He says in verse 34, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stone those who are sick to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Just like we read in Romans 1, that people suppress the truth. They suppress the truth at the time of Jesus, saw the miracles, would not accept God's offer of forgiveness, would not recognize him as the Messiah. That I wanted to bring in, just like a chicken brings her baby chicks in to protect them from all danger. But you were not willing. And then he gives the final message. The door is shut for Jerusalem. That doesn't mean everybody in Jerusalem. There were about 20,000 people in the church in Jerusalem before they stopped counting who accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior after he was in the dead. But look what he said in verse 35. See, your house is abandoned to you. I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Within 2 decades, AD 70, Jerusalem ceased to exist as a city. The Romans came in and wiped it out. It wasn't until 1948 that Israel became a nation again. It wasn't until 67 that they were able to freely get into Jerusalem again. Even the times in the 80s, when I visited Jerusalem, there were still large sections of Jerusalem that were still ruins. The Jewish quarter. There was a Christian quarter, an Arab quarter, and a Jewish quarter. And I don't remember what the other quarter was. But the Jewish section had not been rebuilt. It was living outside of Jews and just excavating that section to steal ruins in the 1980s and so on. But Jesus the code. You will not see me again until you say, when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's what happened in the millennial reign of Christ. Israel was not willing to accept Jesus as their Messiah, as a group as a whole. But they will at a later time. Read the book of Revelation. Right now, we have, if you will, Gentiles proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ, the majority of them. But in the book of Revelation, there will be 144,000 Jewish golden rams proclaiming the message of Jesus as Messiah to the entire world during that last period before Jesus returns. Even in the midst of Jesus saying, the door is closed for you in Jerusalem, the saints will be open again. We don't know when the door closes for an individual, for a group, and we don't know if it opens again or when it opens again. That's all in God's hands. That's why Jesus said, make every effort to enter through the narrow door before the owner gets up and shuts the door. Because you're not going to get in unless the door is shut. Nobody needs to get right with God. Everybody does. Do it for God's sake. Sometimes I've used the illustration we'll have Snickerdoodles this time. Big plate of Snickerdoodles. She makes good Snickerdoodles. And she's standing back and for your offer you a Snickerdoodle. No. I don't want you. Come on, they're real good. But you're going out. You put some Snickerdoodles away. You lost your chance. God is offering salvation to each of us. We're exponentially more than a sneaker. Last one. God is offering us forgiveness and eternity with Him. But it's a limited time. Sometimes you're the person that shares that message. God's given this message to you. God has a plan. The Pharisees tried to dissuade Jesus of a plan, but he wasn't dissuaded. He said, I've got a plan to follow, and I'm going to follow it. I know it means my death at Jerusalem. What are you going to do? So it's alone until over. Stand beneath our prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this time that we'll be here and true to your word. I pray that we will apply it to our lives. Not keeping a secret, but following your plan, knowing that our future is determined by you, not by us. Let us share your message, Lord.